for having to make you hold that plank position a little longer this morning, Colonel. Colonel Craig Flowers, who's always in the plank position until we get the program underway here. We had a little bit of stuff going on around here. In fact, we'll be able to tell you more about that stuff coming up in just a few moments. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 1049, 1019, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig White. Glad to have you with us this morning. And Jeff Howe will be along momentarily, and this is kind of what we were talking about. In fact, I think he's just come whistling in just right now, straight from the parking lot of the ARN compound. How are you, Jeffrey?
I hear you loud and clear, Craig. Do you copy? Over.
We copy, Gold Leader. Jeff, of course, being in the other room, distanced, as we are, given pandemic protocols, that sort of thing. But even more so, and the reason why we're saying this, is Jeff is going to have some news for us coming up here momentarily. Of course, our man in between us, both geographically, maybe philosophically as well, is our man, Jonathan, John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel, our producer, who has his own unique outlook on life and other world. Good morning, Snooper. How are you?
Good morning. You're such a Star Wars junkie. We were in the studio recording earlier, and was that your ringtone?
It was. That was not Star Wars. That was Galaga.
That was Galaga? Okay. I just kept having putt-putt golf flashbacks of putting tokens in video game machines when I heard that.
For folks who...
You like space stuff. There we go.
Well, and I was a big Galaga. But in fact, just call my cell phone right now. We'll let people hear that. Right. We've done this before, but just in case. You talk about retro. This goes back early 80s when I was in college, when I was actually playing it in the arcades.
Is that me? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Is this calling you?
That's it right there. That's me. Yeah, you might want to pop that up a little bit there.
Totally.
Yeah. No, that's you right there.
Oh, that is me. Okay. That's fun. Yeah, but the...
Yeah. That's Galaga there, the ringtone. Galaga. That's my ringtone on my phone. Also, by the way, in addition to that being my ringtone, if I get an email, you get that chirping sound, like when you go to a different stage, a different level, chirp, 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 you know that. And if I get a text, it's the deal that you that little notification you get if you get a ship, the you know. So anyway, yeah,
the double ship. When you double up on the
that's the
power.
One that's the one. So anyway, yeah, that's OG. That is old school stuff for me. But so we were doing all that. It's been a little bit of a hair on fire morning already, just in terms of procedurally, because I was up the road and getting my broadcast charts printed out for the telecast that I'm working this weekend, the high school football state championships, and it was in specific. The Cedar Park Denton Ryan game, and there was, let's just say, there was a snafu at the print place where I had it done, and so that put everything behind. So anyway, we're okay, all here, and we've got a lot to get to on the program. Jeff, should we start right off with some breaking? Is it breaking news that you have for us here this morning? By the way, should I mention that?
This is not quite confirmed on the Texas side, Craig, but this is about as close to breaking news as
okay, then we're going to go with it. All right, so Jeff Howe with some breaking news with regard to the University of Texas Longhorn football coaching staff front. Is that correct?
This is according to Tim Watts, our publisher at Bama Online, who is about as connected to Nick Saban in that football program as anybody covering college football right now. Multiple sources on the Alabama side expect Jeff Banks, the Alabama tight ends and special teams coach, that he is leaving for Texas. You know, either he has already left or is in the process of leaving, but Jeff Banks is expected to join Steve Sarkisian's staff as tight ends coach and special teams coach. And Craig, you know, I know we talked yesterday about, oh, this guy comes with a reputation as a great recruiter, and it seems like almost every coach you hire you can say that about. I just want to run down some of Jeff Banks' top recruits
sure.
that he's ever landed. that he's been responsible for landing in his time. He was on Kevin Sumlin's staff at Texas A&M and recruited the state of Texas for Alabama. Kyle Allen is a five-star prospect at quarterback. Christian Kirk, a five-star prospect out of the state of Arizona. Kamar Wheaton, the five-star running back out of Garden Lakeview Centennial. A.G. Hall is a wide receiver from the state of Florida. Jalen Milrow, the quarterback from Katie Tompkins. Courtney Davis, the wide receiver at Texas A&M. Kendrick Blackshear, the Duncanville linebacker. Go back to his time at Texas A&M. Otaro Alaka, he was the lead recruiter for. Max Wright, the defensive lineman, turned tight end out of Katie Taylor. Jeff Banks was his lead recruiter. So you talk about a guy that has skins on the wall, that was one of Nick Saban's top recruiters, and in addition to that, is considered one of the very best special teams coaches in college football, Craig. Well, you talk about a coup for Steve Sarkisian. This is the very definition of it to get Jeff Banks away from Alabama. This is an assistant coach that Nick Saban really, really did not want to lose.
Wow. Interesting there that it'll work out. So, Jeff, to let everybody know where things are in terms of the coaching roster, bring us up to date on exactly how Steve Sarkisian's staff looks at the moment and the spot still remaining to be filled.
Yeah, the offensive side, Craig, should be pretty much done. A.J. Milwee expected to be the quarterback's coach. We saw that we've been telling you guys for about a week, week and a half now, really since Steve Sarkisian got hired, that Kyle Flood has been expected to come to Texas to be the offensive line coach. And don't be surprised if he gets the offensive coordinator title attached to his name. Those reports, Bruce Feldman had one last night. I think ESPN had one. So A.J. Milwee is the quarterback's coach. Kyle Flood as the offensive line coach. We know Andre Coleman getting retained as the wide receivers coach. Stan Drayton getting retained as the running backs coach. Jeff Banks as the tight ends coach. So assuming there are no snap foos, Craig, like you had getting your charts printed this morning with this Jeff Banks situation, and everything is good to go as we expect right now. The offensive staff should be pretty much done. The defensive staff, Bo Davis coaching defensive line, Terry Joseph expected to work with the corners, and he also, Craig, is probably going to have that same defensive pass game coordinator title he had that he carried with him at Notre Dame, and then Blake Gideon working with the safeties. So really, you've got, what, I think a defensive coordinator and maybe another defensive position coach to hire if you want to go 5-5 with your 10 assistants. So it's coming down the home stretch for Steve Sarkisian putting the staff together. But I'll tell you, Craig, you know, I've said the one hire he needed to nail was the offensive line coach hire, and with Kyle Flood, that would certainly fit the bill. But to get Jeff Banks away from Nick Saban, I can't understate how huge this is, because this is a guy we heard from the very beginning had an option to either join Steve Sarkisian to Texas or stay with Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. And again, this is one of those assistant coaches Nick Saban did not want to lose.
Wow. So it's obviously a big pickup for Texas, a big pickup for Steve Sarkisian. And like you said, if it's somebody that Nick Saban definitely did not want to lose, it's worth making note of as where with regard in specific to the recruiting world. So Coach Sark continues to put together his coaching staff, and this is it could be significant. We'll see how it goes from there. Other things that we have coming up on the program, clearly we'll recap the disappointment of last night's Longhorn men's basketball game, Texas falling last night at home to Texas Tech in a game that at times was inexplicable the way that it ultimately unfolded. But I will also tell you, for anybody who's watched a lot of Longhorn basketball games or been around them, right toward the end as it was going down the stretch, sometimes you can just get a feel for how a basketball game is going to go and the way it was trending. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, we have our Whataburger Top 5. The funny thing is, on Thursday, we had Top 5 road trips. Well, first of all, there's only four games left, okay, and secondly, the road destination is exactly the same for the remaining eight teams who are competing for state championships. But there's a wrinkle
Craig,
or two that we'll
Craig,
get to about that. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Craig, I apologize. Can I break in real quick?
Yeah.
I just got a text from my colleague, Chip Brown. On the Texas side of things, we can now confirm Jeff Banks is coming to Texas. Bruce Feldman also reporting the same. So
yeah.
that looks like it is about as official as it can be without the university issuing something that Jeff Banks is headed to Texas as tight ends coach and special teams coach. Sorry for interrupting, Craig, but just wanted to throw that in there in case anybody's jumping in late.
Yep, important to get that in there. And like we said, that's the next step involved for the University of Texas football program under Steve Sarkisian. So I would imagine that we'll see a release from the university at some point a little bit later with regard to additions to the coaching staff and things of that nature. But given the fact what Jeff just pointed out there, that it is now a done deal with Jeff Banks joining the squad as an assistant coach there, that's important. And obviously, as more details emerge, we'll give you more details on all of this. But you heard the breaking news right here as Jeff Howell was talking about it, the latest addition to the University of Texas football coaching staff for Steve Sarkisian. So we'll recap the Longhorn basketball game. We will also take a look at our Whataburger top five. We have our inconceivable one. I got some fast food for you guys because I know how important that means to you. You know, Snoop just kind of perked up when I said I got some fast food. No, I didn't actually physically bring fast food in to the building.
I'm hungry.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I just meant some news on some fast food there. So, anyway, we'll have that for you coming up. And then a lot to get to in the 11 o'clock hour. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. We've got some things to reset with regard to the table. We'll do that, and then we'll continue here with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn. This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. With you up till noon. Of course, it's a Thursday, and you know what Thursday morning means. We got to get our weekly dosage, our weekly heap and helping of outstanding conversation with Vic Schaefer, the head coach of the Texas women's basketball team, who joins us right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vic, something went through my mind last Saturday in watching how the game transpired in Morgantown, West Virginia. In fact, it was our producer on the Football Radio Network, Bill Harwell, who texted it to me and said, the old Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits line, sometimes you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. And did you kind of have that windshield versus bug feeling with the way things just kind of snowballed last Saturday night in Morgantown?
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I kind of felt like you were looking for a bottle of Paregoric. You know, when I was a kid and my mother was an RN, whenever we felt like we were going to puke, she gave us a spoonful of what they called Paregoric, and it was the licorice, nastiest tasting stuff you ever put in your mouth, but that's what you took when you were sick to your stomach. And you know, those things happen. Again, I think you got to give West Virginia a lot of credit. They played really well, played with a lot of passion and heart. And we just, for whatever reason, we did not want any part of the fight. And that's, it's unusual, at least for my teams. And it's revealing. At the same time, I don't think that defines us or is who we are. I think right now what you're going to find out is, okay, we got punched in the face. Now how do we respond? And I've been real pleased with practice the last 2 days. I like our focus. And, the film doesn't lie. At the end of the day, we sat there and watched it again on Monday. I originally had practice for Sunday. My conscience wouldn't let me have a day off on Sunday for myself or the kids. And I don't like playing on Sundays. I don't like practicing on Sundays. But when I got off the plane Saturday night or Sunday morning at 1 a.m, my conscience, they just wouldn't let me say, well, we'll take tomorrow off and we'll come back Monday. So we were going to practice Sunday, and I had to cancel practice because of the weather. I was concerned about, I've got 3 kids that would have had to come down I-35, and I just didn't feel good about that. And so we canceled it late. and then we got to work back on Monday. So, you know, those things happen. They just don't happen very often for me, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't happen again.
Well, one thing that came to mind, you mentioned the plane. When the plane touched down, when we got back around 1 o'clock in the morning, I didn't think about it at the time, and then I saw you or in advance. We talked about this last week, the grade reports, if you will, the report card, so to speak, and you go and you fill those out on the plane, and then you hand those out to your players. You kind of make your way back through the cabin, and you do that. I did, by the way, think it was kind of funny because since everybody was masked up and a lot of jackets and hats worn, you even had trouble recognizing some of the players when you were handing that out, going, "Hey, I'm looking for Joanne," you know, that sort of thing. I thought, wow, that could not have been easy for you to grade. A, that was one thing I thought of. And then B, and this kind of goes to what you were saying about bringing the fight. When you have a crucial player like Charlie Collier pick up 3 fouls in 7.5 minutes, which was just kind of unheard of there in the first quarter, does it cast a mental pall on her teammates that sometimes is just flat out difficult to get a team to dig out of, that sort of thing? And, you know, in this case, it's Charlie, but, you know, overall in college basketball, when your number one player gets that kind of foul difficulty early and you're down, that it's difficult to get off the deck.
Well, I think there's probably some merit to that. I obviously, hindsight's 2020, and she picked up her second foul. There was 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, and just trying to teach her and you know, develop her mentally and physically, and you know, wanted to see if we could play through that, because my biggest fear, it happened exactly what I thought would happen. If I take her out, we're going to get crushed on the boards, which we did. And I left her in. She got her third, and then I had to sit her the whole second quarter, and we got destroyed on the offensive boards. We gave up 12. Deanna was the only one remotely close to getting a defensive rebound. Our guards didn't rebound and didn't help. And I brought Precious off the bench. I think she played 12 or 14 minutes and didn't have a single rebound the whole game. So, you know, that's, again, and that's, you know, that's a freshman, but when you're 6'5", you ought to be getting a rebound somewhere. And again, but my guards weren't helping either. And so, it's what my biggest fear was, if I took her out, and when I did, you know, it got away from us really quick. And we turned the ball over 20 times, Craig. I mean, our guards have got to be better. We've got to coach better and teach better. But to have 20 turnovers, we gave up 24 fast break points. You know, it was just a nightmare. I mean, it was just a bad day at the office, and we've got to address it, which we have. I think we've worked really hard this week. I'm proud of the kids. I love my team. I love these kids, but it's kind of like I heard someone say the other night, you know, they're almost too nice sometimes, you know. You'd like somebody to grab somebody by the jersey and go, "Hey, we're in a stinking dogfight here, and it's going to take more than me to do it." And so I think I think that's something that you develop. Hopefully, you know, kids have a competitive spirit about them. And so I'm like I said, I'm anxious. I'm always anxious to see us play the next game, and I'm certainly encouraged by the way we practiced this week.
One more thing, Vic, about that type of thing and coming off of that game, and then we'll obviously move on to tonight's game against Kansas. I've heard coaches say this over the years, that it isn't 100% about this, but rebounding in large measure is about effort, and that and it's about, you know, that desire and getting there. There's obviously the technical element and positioning where you have to be, but there's a lot of effort involved with there. And again, that goes back to my other question. Sometimes I guess it can be a deflating thing for the teammates of your best rebounder who is on the bench, and then all of a sudden you're getting crushed on the boards, for them to kind of muster up that effort and that energy.
Well, look, our whole toughness was called into question that game, let's be honest. And rebounding is toughness. You know, rebounding is a physical you know, something physical that you do in during the course of a ball game. So, you know, I think we have to address that. We have to look in the mirror. Again, I am completely and totally accountable, 100%. And so, you know, the buck stops with me, but I think our kids realize, you know, watching the film and seeing our whole effort. But again, you have 20 turnovers. I mean, you're giving them, we literally, as you watched it, we gave them layup after layup. I mean, when you can't defend, you know, because you've turned the ball over at the top of the key and they're going down and laying it in, I mean, you got no chance to defend that. And so our guards have, you know, we've stressed to them, you've got to take care of the ball. It starts with my point guards, and it goes to my twos and threes. But we can't have those turnovers that lead to leak outs and breakaways. And, again, 24 fast break points, it starts with your point guards getting back. And it's been an issue all year, Craig. And so we've really focused on those two this week, getting back. When a shot goes up, I don't care where you're standing, your job is not to rebound. So get back. And so we've done that, and I think we've addressed it. And again, I'm anxious to see us play tonight. But, you know, hopefully we watch the film. I've flushed it. It's time to move on.
And so we do, moving on to this matchup with Kansas, visiting with Texas women's basketball head coach Vic Schaefer here on Light the Tower. It's Texas and Kansas tonight at 7 o'clock. This is just kind of a bizarre year. We've talked about that in many respects, Vic. The fact that this game originally was scheduled on December 17th, and then it gets set aside as Kansas had to go on pause for a little bit. Then you were supposed to play Oklahoma Tuesday of this week. That gets set aside because of roster limitation issues for the Sooners. So the TCU game was going to be moved up from the next Wednesday to tonight, and then that gets set aside, and now Kansas is back in. How challenging is it for you and your staff, let alone your players, all of a sudden to shift gears, and go, oh, wait, here's our opponent now?
Well, are you there, Craig?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's extremely challenging for sure. But again, for my staff, they're so good, and you know, we just roll with the punches. And you know what, we were prepared for Kansas back on the 3rd. We just roll that scouting report out because they haven't played since then. I mean, they haven't played since December 29th. So my challenge really is really difficult. I've got this young, inexperienced, and immature basketball team. And we got really not a lot of film on Kansas, you know, of late in the last 2 weeks. And so it's a big challenge, to be honest with you, you know, going into the game tonight. So I'm sure they'll have some new wrinkles and new stuff. And, you know, at the same time, we finally get Lauren back. We're still without Audrey, but we do get Lauren back. That gives us some depth inside that we need. And I could have used that on Saturday. And so, you know, we roll with the punches. I mean, it ain't going to be the last time that we have a change, I promise you.
Yeah. In looking at Kansas, these are players I remember seeing. Anaya Thomas from Duncanville, who's averaging 11 a game. Holly Kirksgeeter is averaging 17 a game. She is a 50% three-point shooter in conference play, 45% overall. How important is on-ball defense and guarding the perimeter to prevent them from being able to get hot from beyond the arc tonight?
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, we've got to do a good job. Our guards have got to – we've got to show back up at the guard spot. You know, again, I just didn't think nobody played well the other day, but our guards have got to be who they are. And I love like I said, I feel like I'm coaching one of the best players in the country. And Charlie, I got, you know, Joe and Celeste are my kind of guards. I love their athleticism and their competitive spirit. I got 2 point guards that really bring different things to the table, which I like. I like to have that kind of diversity there. And then, you know, Charisma's really smart, probably my best passer, and she's my best shooter. And I could go down the list of everybody on the team and what they bring to the table. But my point is, I love my team and I love the things that we do, but we've got to get back to being Texas. And it just, you know, again, our last 2 days have been really good. And so I'm anxious to see us put that and take it to the floor today.
Are you, you get the feeling, Vic, also that your team is anxious to get back out there and put that other thing once and for all behind them, what happened last Saturday, and make the most recent sample of their work a better sample?
Sure. I think, you know, I do think they have pride, and they know that, you know, they know they're old enough, and they understand that, you know, that's not who we are at Texas, and that's not acceptable. And so, you know, it's the first time it's happened. Again, we ran into a really good team, you know, playing at home, playing with a lot of emotion. You got to tip your hat to that kid that lost Kaiser, lost her dad, two nights before, and plays, and just one of the most courageous things I've ever seen in coaching. And our team really played this, you know, really played extremely hard in support of her, I'm sure. But that's their team. I mean, to me, that's a Mike Carey team. And we just, you know, again, you've got to know that going in, and you got to fight. I mean, at some point, you got to shove back. If you're getting shoved under on rebound, then you got to turn around and shove back. At some point, you just got to say enough's enough, and you fight. And so I think that's where we are. I'm hopeful that's where we are. Again, we've had some good practices, and so I'm anxious to see us play tonight.
Hey, final thing, Vic, and I want to roll back to that. For folks who didn't hear, Kaiser Gondrzik, of course, had lost her father two nights prior to that, the former NBA player, and you spent, it was very noticeable to everybody in the building that was there, even in a reduced crowd, you spent quite a few minutes with her when the game ended, and I saw you visiting with her about it. And can you just kind of give us a feel for the because I know the folks in West Virginia were touched by your gesture and your conversation with her. Can you give us a sense of the type of conversation you had with her coming off the? And she had, what, 22 points in the ball game. She played very well in the game.
Yeah, she destroyed us. I mean, she was 10 for 23 and was just, you know, really playing with a ton of passion, which she always does. But I just conveyed to her again, you know, it losing someone like that is so difficult, and especially when you're young. And I conveyed to her, you know, number one, I just thought she was tremendous and super courageous, and that she did the right thing, that she did exactly what her father would have wanted her to do, and that he would never miss another game, and that she should realize that he'll be sitting at half court for every game, home or away, for the rest of her career. And and just, you know, tried to convey to her, hey, I shared with her what my mother shared with me once. I buried both of my parents, and, you know, it's, unfortunately, it's part of life, and our parents would rather have it this way than the other way. You know, our parents don't want to bury us, and it's our flesh, and it's completely understandable how our flesh feels. But that, again, just know you did exactly what he wanted you to do today. He is super proud of you and your effort and your team's effort, and just know he'll be at half court of every game you ever play for the rest of your career. And you know, again, it's hard. You know, I hate it. I hate it for her. I hate it for any young person that has to go through that with a parent. But it's our destiny, and that's what I shared with her. It's our destiny as children to have to do this. And so, you know, I tell you what was touching for me. The first words out of her mouth, the first words were, "He busted my butt to make me who I am today." And so many kids won't admit or acknowledge the people that are trying to make them the best they can be. It's just, I mean, that's just part of our flesh. There's just not that accountability, especially with young people. And to hear her say that, acknowledge it with so much respect, as a daughter for a father, it really hit me and set me back a little bit to know that that's how she felt about her father, which is what you should feel about your parents. And unfortunately, I think that gets lost a little bit sometimes in today's world. But I know that to hear her say that meant, you know, again, I say this a lot to different parents throughout my career. You know, you've done a great job raising your kid. Well, he obviously and her mother obviously did a great job raising her. And it was really special. It was a special moment. As much as it might have been for her, it was special for me as well, especially when she made that comment.
Well, Vic, I appreciate you taking the time. Very, very sound words and advice, even in the aftermath of a difficult defeat. And we'll look forward to the team getting back on the floor and getting after Kansas tonight at 7 o'clock. I appreciate the time, and we'll see you over at the arena.
All right. Thanks again, Craig. Praise the Lord and hook 'em horns.
Thank you. That's Vic Schaefer, head coach of the Texas women's basketball team. They play Kansas tonight at 7 o'clock. And, of course, fans still not allowed into the Irwin Center yet, but you can hear it on 105.3 The Bat. And we'll begin with that 105.3 The Bat beginning at 6:45. The tip-off is at 7 o'clock. He was talking about Kaiser Gondrzik, if you didn't hear, the outstanding guard for West Virginia and daughter of the former NBA player, Grant Gondrzik, who passed away 2 days before the game. And she was listed as a game-time decision as to whether she was even going to play. And she went out and she played. She scored 24 points, dished out 5 assists. She, as Vic said, she was 10 for 23 from the floor. She was, like she always is for West Virginia, she was the straw for them, and that was all part of West Virginia's win over the Longhorns last Saturday night. But now Texas goes back to work. They get ready for Kansas. We'll hope you'll tune in tonight as we bring it to you on 105.3 The Bat, beginning at 6:45 from the Irwin Center, the Longhorns against the Kansas Jayhawks. That's our weekly conversation with Longhorns women's head basketball coach Vic Schaefer. It brings us now to our Texas Football Notes segment of the program, brought to you as always by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out online at cpdoors.com. The Football Notes begins really with what you had to start off the program, Jeff, as breaking news this morning.
Literally, like, we had been tracking something else on the site, Greg, and had been working on something else, and then this Jeff Banks news just kind of popped up in about the last 20 minutes before we went on the air today. And now we can confirm it. Jeff Banks, the Alabama tight ends and special teams coach, is headed to Texas to join Steve Sarkisian's staff in that same role. And, Craig, some people would ask, well, why would you leave a great setup at Alabama? He was well paid. Nick Saban wanted to keep him. Why is Jeff Banks leaving Tuscaloosa? I think now we know why. We'll keep it in the Viacom CBS family, Craig. Dennis Dodd at CBS Sports reporting that Jeff Banks is believed to become is believed to be earning the first $1 million a year salary for a special teams coach in college football. Dennis Dodd reporting Jeff Banks has agreed to a 3-year deal worth $3.15 million with an opening salary of $1 million in 2021. So this is how bad Steve Sarkisian wanted Jeff Banks on his staff. And I think it's worth noting, Craig, Steve Sarkisian has gone big game hunting for coaches on his staff. We know he's bringing Kyle Flood over from Alabama to be the offensive line coach. And while some people say, well, that's poaching from Nick Saban's staff, you got to remember when it comes to Kyle Flood, the tie between Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian starts in 2017 when Steve Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, and Kyle Flood was first an assistant offensive line coach and the offensive line coach for the Falcons. So that's where those two linked up. So their tie starts before you get to Alabama. A.J. Milwee coming over. He was an analyst at Alabama, coming over to be the quarterback's coach for Steve Sarkisian. Milwee was believed to be Sarkisian's right-hand man. Think about that game, Craig, in the Iron Bowl when Steve Sarkisian was promoted, if you will, on just for one day to be the acting head coach. A.J. Milwee then was elevated to an on-field role to become the acting offensive coordinator. So those two are going to work hand-in-hand offensively. But this Jeff Banks move, Craig, you cannot undersell how huge this is for Texas, not just because you're getting a guy widely considered to be the very best special teams coach in college football, but as we mentioned, a guy who is a lights-out recruiter, was the lead recruiter for Kyle Allen when Texas A&M landed the 5-star quarterback prospect out of the state of Arizona, helped recruit Christian Kirk, who was a five-star prospect out of the state of Arizona, was the primary recruiter for Kamar Wheaton, who Alabama got the five-star running back from Garden Lakeview Centennial, one of the top recruiters that's recruited the state of Texas probably in the last 5 to 10 years. So all the way around, nothing but praise this move is receiving for Steve Sarkisian to be bringing Jeff Banks on board at Texas.
And just to make sure there's no misunderstanding about this, for folks who may look at that and go, what? $1 million for a special teams coach? $1 million a year for a special? We're not talking about just a guy who's doing special teams. The reason why the attraction was there, the reason why the pursuit was there, and the reason why the paycheck will be there is because of what you just outlined, Jeff, in what he means in terms of the recruiting element and the lifeblood of a college football program.
And Greg, I'll go back to what Coach Sark told you in your sit down with him after the press conference when he talked about he loves recruiting, and that's not something all college coaches will openly admit. They might dance around it or you know, kind of give you some coach speak. No, Steve Sarkisian loves recruiting, and you talk to people in that coaching community, Craig, and they'll tell you, if you don't love the grind of recruiting, you're going to have a really hard time working for guys like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, who live it, breathe it, sleep it. Every single day they're focused on recruiting and making their roster better. Those are the kinds of guys Steve Sarkisian is bringing to Texas. And I think it's worth mentioning, Craig, you know, when Tom Herman first got to Texas in that 2018 class, like, I think there's this misconception, Craig, that Tom Herman – the entire time he was at Texas, just failed to land the top in-state talent. Go back and look at that 2018 class. Was it Marvin Overshone and Caden Stearns, B.J. Foster, Jalen Green, Keandre Coburn, Keontae Ingram, go down the list. You know, when Tom Herman's guys first got to Texas from Houston, they were just relentless on the trail. And I think over time that kind of slacked off a little bit. That's what makes Craig Nick Saban and what he's done and what the sustained success Urban Meyer has had, the guys that are at the very top of this profession, that's part of what makes them so successful, is they not only understand that recruiting truly is a job that never stops, but they embrace it, they live it, and they love it. And to know that Steve Sarkisian, again, is bringing a guy that Nick Saban viewed as a valued asset, not to say he didn't view Kyle Flood or A.J. Milwee in that same light, but we knew this was going to be tough. And going back to what I originally talked about, Steve Sarkisian made a really strong run at Dennis Simmons, the Oklahoma wide receivers coach. Now, we know he's retaining Andre Coleman, but they made a very lucrative offer to Dennis Simmons. I think he wanted a guy that has a really, really strong track record of recruiting talent in the state of Texas, and he got that and then some with Jeff Banks.
So there's our football notes portion of the program here. One more of that. Jeff Banks headed for the University of Texas, and we'll see. What one would imagine, Jeff, and I don't know, you may already have the confirmation on this, that, but sometimes these things follow the other thing. When you hear the news of somebody making a move to come to a staff, the titling of it, where he's going to be called associate head coach, assistant coach, all that kind of, one would imagine that, with the amount of the compensation deal that is worked out, he'll probably be an associate head coach, one might imagine.
I would think there's going to be, usually, you know, that's why Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian's going to be the play caller, but Kyle Flood getting the offensive coordinator title, that's a promotion, and that's one of those moves where some people, you can say it's a lateral move moving from Alabama to Texas, but to be promoted to offensive coordinator, I would think Jeff Banks is going to get one of those. Is it better to be, Craig, the associate head coach or the assistant head coach?
Associate is a higher level. Supposedly, okay. At least in title, associate head coach, as opposed to assistant.
Some of those titles, it gets kind of murky.
I know.
The really long wording. But I always thought about, you know, one of those deals like, you know, janitors. Why don't they just call themselves something like sanitation engineers?
That's right.
Or something like that, you know, just elongate the title. But no, yeah, I agree with you, Craig. I think it's going to be that for Jeff Banks. And keep in mind, too, Craig, Jeff Banks is inheriting a tight end room at Texas that, unless somebody jumps in the transfer portal, that room's going to return completely intact because Cade Brewer's going to take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. Jared Wiley coming off of a good year. Get another year from Braden Leibrock, another year from Malcolm Epps. So Gunnar Helm coming in from the state of Colorado as an early enrollee, which, by the way, the early enrollees started arriving on campus yesterday. So, yes, we can talk about the special teams. We can talk about recruiting, but that tight end room at Texas, Jeff Banks has some decent to good, you know, raw materials to work with and start molding.
Good point. All right, that's our football notes portion of the program this hour. We'll have more next hour. Up next, Inconceivable. It comes your way as we continue here with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, as always, Inconceivable means we get the opportunity to unwrap some of the, if not unusual, sometimes unusual, sometimes just updated stories that might not be of the most normal variety to you. And it's just like if you wind up getting injured, you know, it's not the most normal thing for you, right? So that's when you have to call on Dr. Matthew J. Crawford in Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Crawford specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of sports-related injuries with an emphasis on injury prevention and conservative treatments. He and his team offer cutting-edge arthroscopic and minimally invasive surgical techniques. Visit them today at austin-orthopedics.com and let Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine keep you at the top of your game. All right, I guess it should start with some fast food for you guys because I know that it means quite a bit to you. First of all, we've been down the road with Taco Bell before. Things that you like about Taco Bell, things you don't like about Taco Bell. Where do you stand, Jeff, on potatoes when it comes to Taco Bell?
Never had them. Don't plan on ever having them. If I'm getting potatoes, they're not going to be from Taco Bell.
Okay, here's why I'm saying this. Taco Bell's announced that they are bringing potatoes back to the menu on March 11th with the return of the cheesy Fiesta potatoes and the spicy potato soft taco. Snoop is already nodding his head as if he has partaken in the past.
Yeah, that's actually really good. I remember that back in the day. I had a lot of that.
Well, according to them, potato lovers were furious when Taco Bell cut the menu items last year is part of an effort to simplify the menu during the pandemic. But their global chief food innovation officer, Liz Matthews, said she felt like she heard from everybody in the entire country complaining about the potatoes' disappearance. So it's the cheesy Fiesta potatoes and the spicy potato soft taco. Also, Taco Bell announced today they're teaming up with, wait for it, Jeff, here it is, Beyond Meat, to develop a new plant-based protein, the chain's first foray into plant-based meat. The Taco Bell Beyond Meat collaboration will be tested in the next year. You know, we're seeing a lot more of that, Jeff. We're seeing a lot of, you know, going with the plant-based stuff now, getting away
from... Yeah, you know, again, that's kind of like, envisioning a low-fat Twinkie. Like, you know, it's not the point. Like, I'm not eating that because I'm trying to watch my figure. I'm not going to Taco Bell because I'm concerned about what I'm shoving down my gullet. I want it because I find something on the menu that's tasty. So, what is Taco Bell's meat made out of anyway? Because I'm not convinced that it's 100% meat.
All right.
Hey,
by the way,
not that I'm complaining, Craig, because, you know, everybody's had those trips to Taco Bell at like 2 a.m. where it doesn't matter.
Snoop probably did one last night. You know, I don't know.
Man, it could be cat food in that crunchy taco. You don't really care. It just satisfies the stomach.
By the way, Big Mike on the Specs text line says the potato soft taco was so good. Thanks, Craig. Best news of the day.
It was really good.
Somebody else said, I love the spicy potato soft taco. It was one of my favorites. I was legitimately upset that, that they took it away. Legitimately upset. So maybe we're missing out on something here, Jeff. Maybe with those potato soft taco and stuff like that, but we'll have a chance.
Did Big Mike or anybody else on the text line that's texting in, did they cuss at a drive-thru worker like I did at Burger King when I found out they took the chicken Whopper off the menu?
Did you really cuss out the worker through the drive-thru?
Were you that guy? I said, this is...
And bleep.
Shouted a few expletives and drove off angrily.
Wow. Okay. Somebody else not on board. Matt at the World's not on board with the Beyond stuff. He says emu meat. But anyway, that's going the route. I mean, Burger King has the Impossible Whopper. There's other plant-based burgers from other places as well. So going down that road, you know, doing some of that. You're a Girl Scout cookie guy, right?
Yeah, there's those I think it's the lemon flavored ones.
Yeah, the lemonades.
Yeah, I think
they look like a big old wagon wheel or like a thinner version of a hockey puck. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
The Girl Scout cookie season, of course, is always beginning in January. And like everybody else, they've had to pivot. They've had to adjust. So America hit with the pandemic. Girl Scout say they're ready to go. They have set up online shipping, of course, in the past. And now they're going to bring a new cookie with them. And they have a partnership with Grubhub. Now, Snoop, you fancy yourself a bit of a... ordering off the app kind of guy, right?
That's probably my biggest expense besides rent.
Really?
Yeah.
Just what do you normally order the type of food? I mean,
sushi.
You order sushi?
Yes.
Off an app?
I'm a big sushi. Just I'm not all stuck up about my sushi. Just deliver it to me. I don't need to have a suit on or sit little teacups.
Let me get a timeout here. We didn't discuss this on the show. We haven't yet. Snoop, did you get the fiasco straightened out where apparently you had a sushi order that got delivered here to the station instead of
my house,
your residence? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody got that, but it was like $50 worth of food.
Wow.
What was it?
So it was a salmon and tuna combo poke bowl.
Okay.
With salt and pepper, spicy wings, edamame, and miso soup.
And wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can see where you did. All right. So would you be willing to order Girl Scout cookies from Grubhub?
Guess so. Usually what I'm ordering from Grubhub is meat.
Right.
Food. Yeah. But yeah, why not?
What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
A Thin Mints.
Okay. There's a lot of people like that, Thin Mints. Me, not as much, but I know
a lot of
people.
I put them in the freezer.
We can throw that there on the Specs text line, your favorite Girl Scout cookie. What about you, Jeff? Oh, you said the lemonades, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter patty kind of guy. The Do-si-dos. Like those. Well, they've announced a new cookie. Called Toast Yay, which is inspired by French toast. It's kind of a French toast flavored cookie.
Syrupy?
It's... gonna be cinnamon, kind of taste and smell very cinnamony, as they say. I know the one you're talking about, Jeff. It's called the Lemon Up, the crispy lemon cookie. Says what they're saying here. It's like that.
Yeah, I gotta figure out which ones they are.
But you like those? Okay, all right. I like the peanut butter patties as well. So, and then we got one other thing. Well, I've said for some time that since now Rod Babers has spoken for, that Snoop needs to be the next contestant on The Bachelor. He needs to be the next Bachelor guy.
Sure, why not?
The Bachelor, a couple of nights ago, I don't know if you heard what happened, but Matt James, the Bachelor, said that one of the contestants almost passed out.